This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome to Time Out. I'm Eve Rodsky, author of the New York Times bestseller Fair Play and Find Your Unicorn Space, activist on the gender division of labor, attorney, and family mediator.
And I'm Dr. Aditi Narukar, a physician and medical correspondent with an expertise in the science of stress, resilience, mental health, and burnout.
We're here to peel back the layers around why it's so easy for society to guard men's time as if it's diamonds and to treat women's time as if it's infinite, like sand. And whether you are partnered with or without children or in a career where you want more boundaries, this is the place for you, for all family structures. We're here to take a time out to learn, get inspired, and most importantly, reclaim our time. Hi, Aditi.
Hi, Eve.
It's good to see your face and hear your voice.
It's great to see you, as always.
We're in our little unicorn space together, so thank you for that. You know, we're thinking and talking about boundary setting, right? This idea of what does it take to actually set a true boundary in one's life? And if you're a marginalized population, if you're a woman, it is harder to say no. I was thinking of my friend when I said to her, you deserve a permission to be unavailable from your roles as a parent and or partner and or professional. And by professional, I mean anybody who works for pay or who works in the home. And she said to me, but Eve, who would I be if I wasn't available? It's how she defines herself. Mm. And so I was thinking a lot about this time in the early pandemic. I want to read you a little bit about what I wrote about it in Unicorn Space, my second book. I say that during that challenging time when we just started to lock down, boundary setting became a fast necessity in the interest of self-preservation. And I applauded many of my friends who boldly instituted clear lines of their own in an effort to juggle jobs, partners, kids, pets, and their sanity all under one roof. I relished their videos of hiding out in their kitchen pantries or escaping to their bedroom closets. Double lock the door, my friend Blessing said, as I was having a hard time with reestablishing boundaries when we went to a work from home or home from work blended life where the boundaries seem to be so fluid and they're not as easy to set, at least not for me. I laughed at the caution tape, the leave me alone boxes, the impossible to confuse, do not enter, and mommy's on a timeout signs my friends posted. But I wanted to talk about my struggle because I had converted a corner of our guest room, Aditi, into a writing nook, and I really hoped to write uninterrupted for 2 hours over each weekend. It seemed feasible, right? We had done Fair Play that way, but now it was a different time. Again, boundaries are moving during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So at breakfast one Sunday morning, I announced to Seth and Zach and Ben and Anna, after we finish up, I'm going to go work on my book for 2 hours. I'll be home, but pretend I'm not home.
Right.
So they nodded in vague agreement. And once the table was cleared, I retreated to the guest room. Well, guess what happened? It's not rocket science. You'll be able to guess. 5 minutes, there's a knock on the door. It was Seth. Hey, I know you're busy, but I just want to let you know that I'm going to need your car later to go pick up the groceries, okay? Cool. Okay, bye. A few minutes later, Ben comes in. Mom, when are you going to read my homework assignment? Later, I say. I just, shut that door. 30 seconds later, Anna bursts in with her loving Patsy. I want my mommy. So I kept thinking, good God, these walls are really freaking thin. So the next week I tried again to communicate my boundary. I explained I was taking 2 hours to write and I was unavailable to answer questions, make snacks. If you need something, ask daddy. And to hammer home the point, I started to put an unavailable post-it on my breast, like literally on my boob, on top of my breast, right where they could see it at eye level. And I said, I am unavailable, showing Anna, because she doesn't read yet what the post-it meant. Okay, so I go into my office. 5 minutes later, knock on the door. It was Seth again. Hey, I know you're unavailable, but no buts, I'm working. Started screaming, shut the door. A few minutes later, Anna comes in again. She's sucking on a lollipop. She comes up in my chair. She points at my post-it, and then she whispers, I love you, and sort of licks my ear. It's very cute, but really disruptive. And so I figured since she's not reading, she didn't really understand. And she meant, okay, well, interruptions are okay as long as I lick your ear and they're delivered with love if I interrupt you. So I had 10 minutes of solitude when finally Ben barges in. What is it? I ask, and I'm starting to get really agitated. And he looks at me and he stands there and we're staring sort of an eye-to-eye contest. And he says, hey, Mom, your post-it's falling off. And that was it. I looked at him. I took the post-it off my chest. I crumble it up into a damn ball. I throw it at him and I say, get the fuck out, Ben! Get out. I'm unavailable. I start throwing stuff. I throw all the books off my desk. I throw my pens on the floor. I start smashing things, stomping around. And then you know what? That 2 hours, I was unavailable. But all the guilt and shame of having that rage blow up at my kids and cursing at Ben and screaming and having to lock the door, I just sat there and I just started to cry. And it was too much. I thought, I'm the person who's supposed to be an expert at setting boundaries. And I couldn't even set boundaries of my own.
I laughed at many points because it was just so relatable. But there's such deep sadness there. What's so interesting about this story and so many others during the pandemic is that saying no and having that sense of I need my time is something that's biologic within us. But the actual saying, the doing, the orchestrating is very difficult because saying no is also a socialized response.
So basically you're saying biologically we are programmed to say no?
Of course. When something is uncomfortable or something is disturbing our inner peace, our inner sanctity, when we are high stress, as you say, high stress, low cognition, right? in those moments when you just are focused, you're in high stress mode, you need those 2 hours to do your work and to focus. And during the pandemic, when there is no time for yourself because your children and partner and everyone is at home, those 2 hours on the weekend were very precious to you. So it is a natural inclination during those periods of stress to feel, no, I need this space. The difficulty is translating those feelings into words and actions, because saying no and taking that step, there's a wide divide, because that's all the socialization process. So that's the discrepancy. And I think that's always the conflict. There's a wide gap between feeling no and saying no. And we need to figure out ways to close the gap. But to be able to say it and give ourselves permission requires a lot of education, research, guidance, systems aligning, external forces. And that allows us to actually work on the doing of no rather than just the feeling of no.
I love that, the doing of no. So I think that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the doing of no. The feeling of no, when you don't have a doing of no, Aditi, is, in my research, extreme rage. And that is where we're stuck a lot of the time. That the crumbling up of the Post-it for me and throwing it at Ben's head was a, I feel, like you said, Aditi, it's such a good way to look at this. I'm feeling the no. It's bubbling up inside of me. It's becoming a toxic bile inside of me. But I literally feel like I have no control over the doing of no. And this is the hard part. When I did do the no through rage, it meant I couldn't actually do the yes. I couldn't do the thing that I wanted to do that day, which was right. Because instead, because I had such a hard time with the doing of no, it impeded those 2 hours. It wasn't a free 2 hours of uninterrupted attention, because my attention and my insides were stuck in the past hour of feeling that complete regret. So I think it's this rage, resentment, and regret cycle that we stop when we actually can do no in a productive way. And again, people laugh. You have 2 chapters on communication in a book about creativity. Find your unicorn space. Yes, because the doing of no is that hard. So let's learn to say no today. I'm really excited to explore these themes further with our guest today. He's a good friend of mine, Greg McEwen. He's a public speaker, a leadership and a business strategist. He's a New York Times bestselling author of 2 of my favorite books. The first one is Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less, and his new book, Effortless, Making It Easier to Do What Matters Most, are books that I think are must-reads. So he's going to be joining us after the break to discuss setting boundaries and how to say no.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for
more info now.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Here to discuss setting boundaries and how to say no is Greg McEwen. Hi, Greg.
Oh, it's so nice to be with you. Thank you both for having me.
Well, we love your work.
And right back at you.
Couldn't be more important now, I think, as we think about a return to our values, a return to things that are important. So what is your work? How would you describe your work for those who may not know it? Can you describe essentialism for us?
Yes. My name is Greg McEwen, and I am the author of 2 New York Times bestsellers, Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less, which is all about figuring out what is essential, eliminating everything that's not, so that you can make it as effortless as possible to do what is essential. And that's what my most recent book is specifically about, is how to make it more effortless. If you have to combine both of them in a simple idea, I think it's healthy productivity. And that doesn't sound that profound, perhaps, but in a time of so much unhealthy productivity, it seems to have struck a nerve. And it's really a shame that these things are as relevant as they are, because we want to find a better way, a different way to do life.
What I love about your work so much is I always try to bring it into the work of the home being the most important organization.
Yes.
Or as this one man said to me that I think I told you about, where he said, "You mean like the opposite of my home, where we wait to decide who's taking the dog out right when it's about to take a piss on the rug?" And I said, "Exactly. Whatever that is, I want the opposite for you. Just that thing, but the opposite." And
yes.
I think where your work intersects with Aditi and my work on burnout and wellness is I always like to say, you know, I wish burnout now was as easy as taking a walk around the block, like you'll hear some of these productivity experts say, or carving out 5 minutes a day for your meditation practice. But I really truly believe that the antidote to burnout is being interested in your own life. And when you are on a treadmill of milestones, you can't be that way. So you teach us how to start thinking about what it is that we're truly interested in. What does it mean to be an essentialist? How do you return to that state if you're somebody who is like my friend who's dying in decision fatigue and waiting to take the dog out right when he's about to take a piss on the rug?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a big, clear difference between non-essentialists and essentialists. Non-essentialists think, do, and get very different things. So what do they think? They think everything is essential. Everything's important. And so what that produces is what Jim Collins has called the undisciplined pursuit of more, where you're reacting to everything. You're living in your inbox. You're in a Zoom, eat, sleep, repeat lifestyle. You're just dealing with things when you cannot not deal with them. And so this is a way to survive, but you're not thriving in that. And it really is exhausting. for everyone involved to just be in a sort of slightly panicked mode all the time. And so what you get is unsatisfying results because you're not even sure if the right things are getting done or not, and they're probably not. Your to-do list is longer at the end of the day than it was at the beginning. You're stretched too thin at work or at home or both. You feel busy but not productive. But then these things can even get worse over time, and that's really what I've been addressing more recently, is that people really are teetering right on the edge of exhaustion. They want to get to another level, but they lack the energy because this has gone on for quite a while. And then eventually everything feels like it's just harder than it needs to be, right? That's the non-essentialist story. The essentialist is different to all of that. The essentialist thinks, does, and gets really different things. They think almost everything is non-essential, and a few things only are essential. So it's almost the opposite mindset. And so as soon as you believe that, that there's just a few things that are vital and almost everything is trivial, as Maxwell put it, it's difficult to overstate the unimportance of practically everything. Once you adopt that idea, then your behavior naturally shifts because you start to say, well, I've got to explore what's essential then. I have to find out what really matters and discern between all of these things coming at me. I need to eliminate the non-essential things, even if they feel like it's all just pressure or the FOMO because other people are doing it. And I have to get rid of that stuff as much as I possibly can. And then I need to build systems. I know that's one of your favorite words, and I love that word, to make it as easy as possible to do what's essential so that in the best case scenario, these things happen even if we aren't thinking about them. I mean, that's the ultimate situation, that the systems and rituals of our lives work. So whether you're sleeping, these things happen. Whether you're consciously thinking about them or not, they are happening. And the result of that is a life that's satisfied, a life that really means something, and a sense of like, yeah, the right things are getting done, and so that you can have more joy in the journey. Now, that's the contrast. You know, in full disclosure, I've spent plenty of my life in the first column, and even on a day-to-day basis, I find myself jumping between these things. So I struggle with this. I'm in the wrestle with everybody else. But it's still helpful to me to think of this contrast, to notice when I'm in the first so that I can make decisions by design to get into the second.
Make decisions by design. Can I just say that three times? I think if we had to distill what this podcast is about for the home, it's making decisions by design so that you're not reactive. So I'm going to turn it over to Aditi, who's also an expert in wellness from a medical field, and she has a couple of questions for you.
Greg, so you've kind of laid out the difference between non-essentialism and essentialism. So in Eve's work, it's this idea of giving ourselves permission. So for those of us who might be living in the non-essential mindset, to get to that essentialism, that's a big leap. But we have to almost like give ourselves permission to get there, to stay there. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? How do we do that? How do we take that first step?
First of all, you know, read Eve's book. That seems like a good start. This is non-trivial, right? To find that kind of unicorn space in our lives. I know from personal experience, and Anna, my wife, is one of the most discerning people in my life, but still struggles with this because the responsibilities are so high, because she has so many important things that she's taking seriously, that carving out space to formally work on something for her, something that she wants to pursue and create, doesn't just happen. That is never going to happen anymore. In a world as noisy as it is, if you just take the path of least resistance, if you just go with the cultural norms, it is not going to happen. It will be consumed with social media, with running children places, with any number of other activities. And so where do we start on this? Here are a few tactics I think people should start with. One is to immediately look at the next month of your life and blocking out time. Anything that's not already blocked, you block it. You make an appointment, a meeting with yourself, We managed to make to meetings of all sorts of things. We managed to be on Zoom appointments all sorts of times. So this is scheduling time for yourself. You have to create this space because it won't just exist. I mean, maybe a few years ago, it would have just existed. You're late for a plane or you're waiting to pick someone up and they're not quite there. And you just have to wait. And the upside of that is that there's space to think. But now, the moment that you could have thought or imagined or explored your life, you just check your phone and you're into all of these other habits. So I think blocking out time ahead is one thing that you can do. I think a second thing that people can do, and this is like a microburst, so you say 10 minutes, I am going to set a timer for 10 minutes, that's fine, and I'm going to make my done for the day list. Now that is a thoughtful list that the criteria is done for the day, meaning when I'm done with this list, I'm really done. I'm not going to do any sneaky work after that. This is the work of my day, and then I'm going to move into relaxation, recuperation, activities. And so the done for the day list is a prioritized list, but it's one that has a boundary to it. And I will say, I think I've done it maybe 4 out of the last 5 days. And the day I didn't, you have a different experience. You feel more in control, more deliberate, more thoughtful. To use the essentialist language, it's a disciplined pursuit of less. And you get to the end of the day and you feel more sure as you're lying there in bed that the most important things did get done. And you also didn't just keep going as if you're a machine. We're biological creatures. We work in rhythms. And we shouldn't be treating ourselves like computers or like factories.
I have a follow-up question to that, which is, your second book is so important because it's really about figuring out what to fill with if we actually do claim this permission in this space. And I had someone ask me a question that I thought I would pass on to you, which I think is important. A distinction to make. Life is not easy, right? The good things we do, like writing books, you know, our unicorn space, or like you said, what Anna was going to do, creating the world. These things are not all cupcakes and rainbows. There is a flow state experience. Like this hour, this 30 minutes with you is going to go in a blink of an eye for me because I'm so into listening to you and the flow state of it. But there is rigor. And so tell me about how effortlessness is different than saying, well, everything in my life has to be easy, because I think that's a really important distinction.
Well, first of all, it's the number one risk in writing a book called Effortless is to be misunderstood in that precise way.
It does.
You don't write a book called Effortless because you think life is easy. You write a book called Effortless because, seriously, it is so, so hard. For so many people, I wrote it in part because of the most difficult experience of my whole life, which was when my daughter suddenly went from the picture of health to an undiagnosed, a massive discombobulative neurological disease that looked on the surface behaviorally something like her getting Parkinson's disease. And out in the midst of that quite, let's say, agonizing time, what I discovered and was very surprised to discover was that there were two paths to any challenging situation. One is that you can make it harder and heavier and more challenging. And the second is that there is a lighter, easier, more effortless, better, simpler way to do life. And it really matters that you discover the second path. Because if you don't discover them, if we take the wrong path, we'll burn out ourselves, our relationships, our family culture, before we can help her. We don't know how long the journey is. For us, it was more than 2 years in all before she was able to at least be treated for a diagnosis. None of the tests ever actually showed a proper diagnosis, but she was treated for encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, and aggressively treated. And eventually that seemed to completely work. So she is back now. But if you burn out before you achieve your mission, then you haven't achieved your mission. And so when you don't know how long something will take, you've got to find this different pace, this different approach. And that's what gives me fire for the deed for this, because I see so many people in their homes, they're doing the most important work of their life, right? They're doing important work, But they're doing it in a way that leads to overexertion, overthinking, perfectionism, exhaustion, burnout, isolation in their burnout. And so all of this ends up stripping away the deeper reserves they have. And what kind of state are you in when you're trying to build a home, when you're trying to build a family, when you're trying to build a contribution in the community? And what do you have to give if that's your approach to life? And I'm afraid that there's very, very many people who I think can relate to what I'm describing there, or seem to be able to. And so that's the reason. That's why to write this book. That's why it's worth doing. Not because life is easy, but because it's so hard, you have to find an easier path to be able to survive, or have a prayer of thriving through it.
Part of your work that I love is how you teach people how to say no. And you say that saying no is like a skill, and it's something that we can practice. You start small, you build it up over time, and it may be one of the most useful skills you ever develop. By saying no to things that aren't really meaningful, we actually have the space and energy to concentrate on the things that are. And you lay out three steps really beautifully about how to say no. And one of my favorite pieces of writing by you is a piece called "If You Don't Prioritize Your Life, Someone Else Will."
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit more about this idea of consciously making a change and designing your life, and how we can learn to say no to then be better to say yes to all the things we want to say yes to.
Let's begin with a bold number one rule. Non-essentialism is premised on a lie. Here's what the lie is. It says, if you can do it all, you can have it all.
Mm.
And here's the problem with that. In a world where our choices and options have gone up and continue to go up exponentially, right? Ever since the internet existed, the options are beyond comprehension. So in a state of endless possibilities, can you do it all? I mean, it's such a nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. And then let's say you could do it all, or you could try to do it all. Will it lead you to getting it all? Is that what happens to people? If this doesn't live up to what it says on the packaging, it's a bill of goods. We've been conned. And so our job is to get out of the con, is to not participate in the lie. You don't have to tell everybody else off. You just have to not participate in the lie yourself. The world is a world of trade-offs. Every single time you say yes to something, every yes is no to 1,000 things. You're saying no to every other possible thing you could be doing. So actually, we are all saying no all the time. We're just not using that word. So what we're really talking about here is not starting to say no to everyone and everything without really thinking about it, but it is to say yes cautiously and carefully and in a disciplined way, so that we can be sure that when we say yes, we can really do it without resentment, that we can do it and feel good about it afterwards.
Well, thank you for sharing your vulnerability with the world. You're one of my most profound teachers, but I appreciate your vulnerability and your wisdom. And, you know, Effortless is really a vulnerable book. You know, you do talk about your personal experiences. And so that sort of takes us full circle. That is unicorn space, right? That curiosity about something, that connection with your listeners or readers, and then the completion, you actually had to complete the book. So thank you for completing it and putting it out in the world. And usually we like to end with just, where can people find more of you as you iterate and continue to create?
There's only one thing I'd suggest with people on that. And it's just a free newsletter. It's called the 1 Minute Wednesday. It's a very simple thing. It's not profound. Some would say it's profound. It's just micro adjustments people can make in 1 minute or less. So you just go to gregmckeown.com and you can sign up for that.
It's the best. I always look forward to it.
I am subscribing today.
I love it. I love it. I love 1 Minute Wednesday. I look forward to it.
Marvelous. What a pleasure to be with you both. Thank you so much for having me.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hi, it's me, Eve. Are you a therapist, counselor, coach, or nutritionist that has thought about introducing the Fair Play system directly to your clients? Well, now you can. Come enroll in the Fair Play Method, a new online program that provides you with hands-on training, a ton of valuable resources, and a community of certified professionals who are all part of a greater cultural movement for systemic change. Learn more about how you can help your clients shift the domestic workload in their own homes towards more equity, more fairness, and greater connectivity. Visit fairplaymethod.com. So as you may know now, every episode of this podcast ends with an action item for you, our listeners, that we call a timeout. This is really a time for you to focus on yourself and reflect on what you're hearing today.
You know, so Eve, as we've been talking about all of this, I think and reflect upon my own journey in learning how to say no, moving from the feeling of no to the doing of no. And for many of us and many of our listeners, learning to say no is scary and hard and foreign because it is ultimately a skill and something that we have to practice over and over again. When it comes to the brain, the more we use certain neural pathways, the stronger they become. We know that saying no is a practice. And so for this week, I would love for you to share with our listeners how to start saying no using all of the tools we've learned from prior episodes.
I'll circle back to the story that we began with. I remember the next Sunday, Dee Dee, after those two disastrous Sundays where my time kept getting erased by all those interruptions. Because I do think the biggest superpower that all of us can have when we set a boundary is attention, that we get attention back. Attention is our weapon. And so if we look at protecting and saying no as a boundary to guard our attention, that's very, very powerful. So I remember the next Sunday, I went to my family around sort of the breakfast area as they were grabbing cereal and said, I want to try something new today that helps us get what we all want without the yelling and the tears. So I paused and I locked eyes with each of them. I was calm, Aditi. Emotion was low. Cognition was high. And I said, I'd written this down. I love you. I want you to feel seen and heard in this house. I want to feel heard and respected too. So you see how this is a communication skill before we can, the doing of no is a communication practice. I'm asking all of you for 2 full hours this morning to write in my office. This time is very important to me. It allows me to use my voice for what I value. That goes to our why and our value setting, which means that I have so much more to give you when I'm done. While I'm writing, Daddy's here to help you with whatever you need. Seth, of course, affirmed that. And then I resumed and said, look, in a couple of hours, I'm going to be 100% available to you all. But until then, please respect my time and space, okay? So they all mumbled, okay. And then I said, okay, let me even go a little deeper into my communication style. And I said to the kids, think of it this way. If we reserved a private room at a trampoline park for your birthday party, and just as we were cutting the cake, another group of kids burst through the door demanding cake and proclaiming it was their party room, you'd be upset, right? Because it wasn't their turn yet. Anna, of course, said, that's not fair. And she was pounding her small little baby hands on the table. And I said, you know what? That's my point. It's not fair. So don't crash my party.
Mm.
And it was this thank you for respecting my space and time firmness that I was able to start to practice, because communication, as we said, is our most important practice. So when you think about being able to get there to a place where you want to protect your boundaries so much, we have a timeout exercise as a reframe for you today. But so while mine, starting with Fair Play through my second book, was this writing time, I want all of you out there to picture your week. And one day a week, at least one day a week, when you answer the question that Greg McKeown likes to ask, what is the most important thing you will do that day? Let's put a timeout spin on it. What is the most important thing you do that day? You have to answer that question once a week outside of your roles as a partner and or parent and or professional. So what do I mean by that? That Sunday, don't crash my party Sunday, the most important thing I did that day was write a chapter in my book. Doesn't mean I don't love hanging out with my kids or being with Seth, but that was the most important thing I had done that day. Today, the most important thing I'll do today is be with you, Aditi. So that's this week's timeout. And next week, we're going to help you stop feeling guilty. Permission to burn guilt and shame with Dr. Cheryl Gonzalez-Ziegler. It's a great conversation. So tune in to learn from Cheryl, who's taught me so much about how to reframe guilt and shame. Thank you for listening to Time Out, a production of iHeart Podcasts and Hello Sunshine. I'm Eve Rotsky, author of the New York Times bestseller Fair Play and Find Your Unicorn Space. Follow me on social media at Eve Rotsky and learn more about our work at Fair Play Life.
And I'm Dr. Aditi Narukar, a Harvard physician with a specialty in stress, resilience, burnout, and mental health. Follow me on social media at Dr. Aditi Narukar and find out more about my work at draditi.com. That's draditi.com.
Our Hello Sunshine team is Amanda Farron, Erin Stover, and Jennifer Yonker. Our iHeartMedia team is Ali Perry, Jennifer Bassett, and Jessica Kreinschich. We hope you all love taking a much-needed time out with us today. Listen and subscribe to Time Out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug
Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.